It's the Yom Tov of faith. How can you not come back with stronger emunah? Every bite of matzah. Meichla de mehem nusa. All right, so let's see. Page Kuf Nun Vav. Okay, he quotes the psukim of Kriyas Yam. So it's a long piece. We're gonna do it quickly. We're gonna skip a little bit, but I want to get through the piece today. Okay, so let's see. Ki isa b'shira shirim rabbi. He quotes the psukim ve'yar Yisrael asiyad gedola, asher osa Hashem b'mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael saw the strength of Hashem and all of the wonders, and they believed in Hashem and they believed in Moshe, and we sang the shira. So it says in the Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabba, Amr Rabbi Chunya, L'sha'over Adam Mara Ikonen Be'etzbo V'haya Nizok. L'sha'over, in the olden days, back in the day, if a person is Mara Ikonen Be'etzbo, and Ikonen is like the English word icon. If a person is Mara Ikonen Be'etzbo, if a person points to an icon, so think of an icon either as a picture, say a painting, or maybe a statue, an image. If you point your finger at the image of, let's say, the king, you know, let's say you don't like the president or the dictator who you're living under, right? And you point your finger, or you look at a statue of the king in the wrong way. Hayanizok, right? You'll be accused of treason. You'll be punished. But nowadays, adam aniach yado al hazkara kamen pamim ve'eno nizok. But now a person can place his hand upon an azkar. Azkar means Hashem, Hashem, on the name of Hashem, many times, and he's not punished. In other words, there are some, you know, kings, rulers, who, if you start up with them, on any degree, you're in big trouble, off with your head. And yet, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can disregard, you can disrespect Hashem's name, and you're not punished. You can blaspheme the name of God, you're not going to be struck by a lightning bolt instantly. But if you glance in the wrong direction of an image of the king, you'll be punished. That's the Medrash. Okay, exactly what the context of the Medrash is not relevant for us right now. But what the Rebbe says is apparently what we're equating is an askara, the name of Hashem, and a picture or an image of a king. If a person places his finger, points his finger, directs his negativity towards an image of a king of flesh and blood, ma'anishan also, so he'll be punished. But if you were to take your hand and cover over Hashem's name in the Torah, ain ma'anishan also mishamayim. Hashem is not going to instantly punish you. Zos omeris, but that is to say, from this comparison, Hashemos heim kiviyachol tzuros shomal. That's what we're going to talk about. What it hints to us is that the name of Hashem is somehow what? It's almost like a picture of Hashem. Now, obviously, we don't have pictures of Hashem because Hashem doesn't have a body. You can't make a statue of Hashem, that would be a Avodah Zarah. Right? But with this comparison, by comparing an image, an icon of the king, of flesh and blood, to the name of Hashem, apparently there's some comparison between the two. Okay. Ki isa kama pamim b'zohar kadosh. The Zohar explains on numerous occasions. Now this is fascinating. Shekodim shenivra kol ish v'achar pitiraso. Before you existed, and after your life, what are you going to look like? What are you going to look like? What am I going to look like? I never thought about that. I'm going to be a neshama. Yeah, but what's your neshama going to look like? Is it going to look like you? Is it going to look the same as you? Before a person is born and after one dies, who omed lefanav yisbarach ba'osa tzura shubolam hazeh begufo. The Zohar says a very deep thing. That you're going to stand before Hashem in the same tzura, the same image, the same form that you had in your physical body in this world. So when you picture yourself standing before Hashem for din v'cheshvon, after your neshama leaves your body, it's still going to feel like you. You're still going to look like you. Ki tzura haruchani hi Dumus bavua shel hanefesh shenishtal shela v'nisgala, because your tzura ruchani, your spiritual form, is like a bavua. Bavua means like a reflection. It almost is a mirror. Right? It's somehow mirrored in your physical form. Uvaser va'atzamos hapanim heim rak emtsaim shel yadin nisgala hatzura, and your flesh and your bones and your facial structure and your appearance of who you are is really just an emtzai by which we get to meet the inner tzur of a person. So it's a fascinating idea. So your physical form and your spiritual form are somehow aligned. Yeah?
So if you were to get reincarnated,
right. What does that mean? How does that look?
No, I'm saying, what form of your physical sense?
Right. Also, what does that mean, your physical form? Right. Obviously, I look different when I was a baby than I do now as a 40-year-old man. Right. So what, you know, it goes by the age you died, you stay that age forever. Right. Again, I don't know. But just to highlight the fact that there's some relationship between my physical self and my spiritual self is a fascinating thing. Rav Itcher Meyer, someone showed me that Rav Itcher Meyer Morgenstern in his writings recently was discussing the permissibility of doing certain types of surgery on the body for physical appearance. And he said that you have to realize that a person's body, the way that Hashem made your body, whether you're skinnier, whether you're larger, whether your nose looks like this or looks like that, part of that is a reflection, it's a manifestation of your spiritual form. So we have to be careful when we manipulate the body. So say, what does that mean? So let's say I used to be very overweight and I start eating in a healthier fashion, so now what, that's bad? Because my neshama is supposed to be in a certain type of body? I don't know. But just the fact that there's a relationship between the two is a fascinating idea. Let's just see one more paragraph. Like the color, like the pigmentation, like the paint that one would use to draw a picture of a person, right? Or if you look at a photograph of a person, when you see a picture of a person and you describe their appearance, you describe their color, you describe their pigmentation, you describe certain things about the way they look. Rak ala tsura v'tachtis nafsho v'chachmaso shalachacham azeh nitztayra bazeh. If you were painting, let's say, a painting of Albert Einstein, or Lahavdil, if you were painting a picture of a Gadol B'Yisrael, a Torah genius, a picture of the Ragachar, right? So, when you look at a picture of a chacham, you can actually see, this person looks smart. What does that mean? When you look at a person, you say, this guy looks smart. I can see this picture, this two-dimensional picture, somehow the coloring in his face, the appearance of who he is, right? Somehow it captures a certain wisdom that's contained within. That is to say, Hatzivaim Rakeem Tsaimheim. So what does it mean? How is that possible, right? Because if I break down the picture, well, it's just colors. If it's a painting, even if it's a very, very high quality realistic painting, but it's just a mix of different colors, it's different paint on a palette. And it somehow it shines through not just what the person actually looks like, but I get a sense of their personalities by looking at the picture. What an interesting idea. Hatsura tachtis ha'aras nefesh haboli de gilohi. Somehow that inner tsura, that inner form of the person, illuminating the soul, comes to gilui, comes to revelation. I'm able to see it somehow in the picture. And that's what Koheleth says, l'chein chachmas adam ta'ir panav. The wisdom of a person illuminates his face. When a person immerses himself in wisdom, you can see, this person looks like a smart person. How does that work? Why does that work? Why does my knowledge make me look different? It's a strange idea, but it's true. The more wise you become, the more your face changes. Lachain, and therefore, says the Rebbe, Gam kodem shenolad v'gam la'achar sheniftar ha'ish, when a person was in their form before they even existed, and the appearance that one will have after their patira, hu b'marom b'ikonan shalot, a person remains in his image. Kevan sheikonan shalot tsuras nafsho. Who? Because his icon, his image, his appearance, again, is the form of his soul. Yeah. Yeah.
Would like braces be considered as one of those types of surgeries?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
It's also a shame too.
Yeah, of course. That was giving us the ability to. But he felt if a person does certain types of things that radically alter the body, right, through surgical procedures as opposed to natural means, he felt that was not in one's spiritual best interest. I don't know. Deep ideas. Yeah.
Maybe a scratch, but it's like your shovel is a reflection. I mean, if your outside is a reflection of your shovel, you see that your shovel really like.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that. Your neshama evolves just like a person grows. Absolutely. Right. Your yitzhahara grows. Yitzhoshal adam misgaber halav b'chol yom. Yitzhahara gets bigger as he gets bigger. Kol gadol michaveru yitzro gadol himenu. The gemara in sukkah. The bigger you are, the bigger your yitzhahara is. So your neshama for sure. The same way you look different than you did when you were a 3-year-old. So your neshama also looks different. But it's interesting that somehow your body is not just, you know, getting older or growing, right? But it's, you know, there's a subtlety there that reflects the image of your soul. Yeah.
Is this just talking about an external image, or is this like your whole physical life?
I don't know. It's a good question. Right? Is it, you know, there are tzaddikim who know, you know, how to read a person's face, right? The stories of. Big rabbis and tzaddikim who could look at a person and see all the things they've done, just written on their forehead, and you know. So there is a chachma of the face, certainly, right? The panim reveals the pnim. That's what they say. The panim, the face, reveals that which is pnim, that which is on the inside. So there's definitely a strong connection. Certainly, your face is, in many ways, the part of you that reveals who you are. But I guess it's probably true about your entire being. I don't know. So in a similar fashion, so now that we've learned that what? That a picture reveals something more about the person. And we made the comparison in the Medrash that we started with a picture of a king of flesh and blood as compared to the name of Hashem. So he says in the bottom paragraph, okay, Ein zehu tzuras Hashemos shel kedusha. So the same thing is true about the shapes, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about letters, the shapes of letters. Fascinating. Hadiyohu raka emtsa'i letzayir tzuras osios elu. The diyo, the ink, the black ink, which we used to write a sefer Torah, let's say, is only an emtsa'i, is only a medium by which I'm able to draw the shapes of the letters. Umahin atzuras atman, velama dafka tzuras elu. But what exactly are these shapes? What is an aleph? We look at it, we say, oh, aleph. We look at it, oh, beis, gimel, dalet. Right, but they're very interesting shapes. If you're actually to think about the shapes themselves are very interesting. Why specifically those shapes? It's obviously the same way that a picture of a person or the body of a person reveals something about their soul. So the shapes of the letters are merely the conduit by which what? It reveals something about Hashem. It's almost like a picture of Hashem. They're like the icon, they're like the image of the king, which is such an amazing idea. And therefore, whenever we look at Hebrew letters, it's always telling us something about Hashem. Top of the next page. In the holy work, the Shari Ora, it says on the Pasuk, Pekudei Hashem Yeshar Misam Chilev. Pekudei means the mitzvos. The mitzvos of Hashem are Yashar. And they're mesam chelev. They bring joy to the heart. But the word pekuv dali could also mean to count or to enumerate, like parshas pekudei. Shebechol haTorah nifkad shem havaya baruch hu. The whole Torah is enumerating, is counting, is revealing in some way the name of Hashem. V'kula ne'areges al shemos hakadosha. The entire Torah is woven. Ne'areges literally means woven from holy names. Whether it's in Rashi Tevos, or Sofei Tevos, or Gematrios. In other words, when we read Bereishis Bara Elokim, that's the name of Hashem. Why is that a name? How is that a name of Hashem? You have to know how to count it, how to read it, how to weave it together. But it's always revealing something more. The person, as they appear on the surface, right, and their neshama, is similar to Hebrew letters and the inner light that they contain. And even if it looks like it's saying something else, the Shari Ora says the whole Torah is really just the name of Hashem. Okay? Which is an idea the Ramban has as well at the beginning of his introduction to Torah. Okay, so now let's learn an interesting Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, which will help us understand much better. An amazing Gemara. Amri le Rabbanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The rabbi said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Osu dardike ha'idna lebe midrasha. Va'amru mile da'afilu b'yamei Yehoshua ben Nun lo ismar kabasaihu. They told Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that some children just came into the Beis Medrash and they were saying words of Amru Mile, they were saying things that even in the time period of Yehoshua ben Nun, no one said things like this. Lo itmar kavasaihu. No one said like this. They were saying unbelievable things. Some young children came into the Beis Medrash and they were saying amazing secrets. They were revealing the code of the Hebrew alphabet. Why am I calling it a code? Because it's Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet. That's how you remember where it is. Okay, where do you find the code? Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet. So they said the following code. Aleph Beis, these are not just sounds. These are not just names of letters. Aleph Beis stands for Aleph Bina. Aleph, learn, study, understand, Bina, understand wisdom, understand, learn understanding. Okay. Gimel Dalid stands for Gimel Dalim. Gimel Dalim, perform acts of kindness to Dalim, to those who are impoverished, those who are poor. And then, not only that, they started to expound the shapes of the letters. My time of Shuta Kari de Gimel Legabi Dalid. What is the reason that Pshuta Kari de Gimel, that the Kari, that the leg of the Gimel, is pshuta legabe dal? It is stretched out towards the dal. You see that? You see how the leg of the gimel? You see how the leg of the gimel, that front leg of the gimel, is kind of following after the dalid? Why is that? Shechei darko shel gomel chasadim larutz achar dalim. Because the gimel looks like, look, the gimel looks like it's mid stride. It looks like it's running. Why? Because it's the way of a person who performs acts of kindness to chase after, to run after those who are in need. Not to wait till someone comes to your door collecting tzedakah, but to go out and to find someone that you can help. And then the Gemara says more, why is the Dalet facing away from the Gimel? Because the Dalet is a little bit embarrassed, and the Gimel wants to give it without looking him in the face, so it's less embarrassing for him. So these children came into the Beis Medrash, they started saying all these unbelievable drushas. Darshan the whole Aleph Beis. The Gemara goes through the whole Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalim. It goes through all the letters. Amazing things. So says our Rabbi Deish Kodesh, Shal pshuto yesh ledaktik. We need to ask a very simple question. Lama karo osam dardike, kishigilu kol kach Torah shafilu bimei Yoshua ben Nun lo ismar kavasayu. Why refer to them as kids, which is almost like derogatory? It's almost like saying, you know, these little children came into the Beis Medrash. Well, hold on a second. If they're saying the deepest Torah you've heard since the time period of Yeshua ben Nun, so who cares that they're young children? The halacha is the Talmud Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. Kids, I don't know how old this kid is. 7, 8, 9, 3. If he's an Adam Gadol b'Yisrael, if he's a genius in Torah, so don't call him a kid. You stand up for him when he walks into the Beis Medrash. Why are you calling them kids? Very interesting. They're on such a high level. How can you refer to them as a child? So the Rebbe says, we'll come back to that question in a moment. The Rebbe says, Aval Hashem Yisbarach Malamid Torah La'amu Yisrael. However, your main Rebbe has to be Hashem. And we're going to learn right now how to make Hashem your main Rebbe. We all have different Rebbeim, people who've taught us Torah, and we have to have a Kar Satov to them, we have to be connected to them. But Hashem is the greatest teacher of Torah. Hashem is the Malamid Torah La'amu Yisrael. So the Rebbe wonders, the Eish Kodesh wonders, when is Hashem your Rebbe? What do you mean? Like right now, is Hashem your Rebbe? Am I your Rebbe? Is Eish Kodesh your Rebbe? Who's your Rebbe right now? When is Hashem teaching? We refer to Hashem as the Malamid Torah La'amu Yisrael. When is Hashem the Malamid Torah La'amu Yisrael? V'tzvicham ladas, im b'chol pam she'ish Yisraeli lomei Torah, hu yizbarech malamid ito? Is it true that any time a Jew learns Torah, so Hashem's your Rebbe? But my Chavrusa is explaining the line of the Gemara to me. My Chavrusa is the one who figured out how to read the Rambam. So what does it mean, Hashem is my melamed? How does that work? When? How often is Hashem my teacher? When I sit by myself, Hashem is my teacher? I thought it was the art school Gemara that I'm reading out of, that's my teacher. I thought it's the Mesilas Yesharim that I'm studying, that's my teacher. When is Hashem my teacher? Aval nira na'ech lamadim Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's learn from how Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu. He certainly had Hashem as his teacher. Ki lo tov ha'ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's compare ourselves to Moshe. Let's at least get a sense of how do they work with Moshe. We'll see where we fall into this equation. Uve Moshe Rabbeinu nira mi Gemara. So we're certainly not better than Moshe. And the Gemara says about Moshe, Megillah daf chaf aleph, Dirakisho lamad pam ha'alif lamad Hashem imo. Whenever Hashem would teach Moshe Rabbeinu something new, when he taught him something for the first time, Hashem would teach him. Masha'enken kishachazar Moshe Rabbeinu al Talmudo lamad beino levein atzmo. But when Moshe would do chazara, Hashem said, okay, I'm going to go take care of other things now. You can sit and learn by yourself. And if you have any questions, you'll let me know. Kavosha Abrusham, as it says there, Amarav, Omed Velomed, Moshe would stand and learn. Perish Rashi, Mipia Gvura. He stood up, he would stand, and Hashem would speak to him, and he would receive Mipia Gvura, right? That means from Hashem. And then Yoshe Vishona, and then he would sit down and he would review. Perish Rashi, Shainis Levado, Mashalavad. All right, interesting. So we have, as a test case, we have Moshe Rabbeinu learning. When he learned something initially, he learned it from Hashem. When he would review it, he would review it by himself. Or how about the Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Kisisa? On the pasuk V'yitein al Moshe kechal oso ledaber ito b'har Sinai shnei luchos ha'edas luchos even k'suvim be'etzva elokim. Says the Medrash, Isa, kisha'ala Moshe l'shamayim hischer lomar achar boro ha'torah mishalamda amur lo bo v'nombra aniva ata. Have lidaber ito ad kan lashon haMedrash. Says the Medrash, when Moshe went up to learn, so first what? Hischil lomer achar borah Torah. Hashem would tell him the Torah, and Moshe would repeat after him. In other words, Hashem was teaching it to him. But mishalamda, once he learned it, Hashem said to Moshe, "You and I and you, are going to go now, and we're going to teach it to others." Again, what does that mean? Hainu. Shabein kachu bein kach b'toras malamid haya rakisho lamari to davar sha'od lo yada Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem served as the sole teacher only when teaching Moshe Rabbeinu something that he did not yet know. Aval inyan shekvar yada Moshe Rabbeinu. But once Moshe knew something, l'rav b'gemara, according to Rav's opinion in the Gemara in Megillah, lo lamari to kadosh baruch hu klal. Hashem did not review with him. You review on your own. And according to the Medrash, Lamadito Yachad V'lo Kamalamid. Or, if Moshe was teaching someone else, Hashem would assist him. They would go together. L'chein al karcha ke'enza kadosh baruch hu malamed itanu Torah. So the Rebbe assumes we're not better than Moshe Rabbeinu. Halavai, we should be at least as good as Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, presumably, al karcha, you have to say that whenever we learn, and this is the Rebbe's conclusion, whenever we learn something new, Hashem is teaching it to us. Okay, now watch what he's going to do. This is brilliant. This is what the Rebbe said on Shvi'i Shel Pesach 1941. It was a particularly difficult time. And the tsaros are getting worse. And the Rebbe is trying to find a way to absorb the new lessons. New pain. New yisurim. Now, Hinei mitamida yosu mikulam. We know from the Gemara in Tanis on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, or better said for us, we know it from Makos Daf Yud, that what? That the Gemara says, I think it was Rav Yehuda who said, right? That I've learned a lot from my Rebbeim, I learned more from my friends, I learned the most from my students. So if Hashem is our teacher, and yet a good teacher is able to say, I learned the most from my students, so what does that mean? What does that mean on a divine level? What are we teaching Hashem? Lachain, look what he writes here, three lines in the bottom. Kesha'anu lomdim davar chadash, when we learn something new, v'kadosh baruch hu lomed itanu b'v'chinas malamed Torah, and Hashem is therefore teaching us, because that was the rule that we just established, that whenever you learn something new, Hashem becomes your malamed. But if we believe in the principle that I learn more from my students than from anyone, so that means at the time that we're learning something new, Bamarom, in the heights of heaven, the Torah is also being revealed in a new way. Now, what does that mean for us to teach Hashem something new? V'agam, says the Rebbe, two lines from the bottom. V'agam shekola Torah shelo yisbarachi. And even though the whole Torah belongs to Hashem, so what does it mean to teach Hashem something? Mikol makom hizgalus haTorah nasa b'marom yoser kishemalamid imaish. The Rebbe says a very deep idea. But the Torah becomes more revealed, even in Shemaim, even b'marom, even in the heights of heaven, when Hashem teaches it to us. When we learn something new, so that creates a spiritual ripple effect, that something new is being uncovered in Shemaim. Of course the Torah is all Hashem's, but we shouldn't think that our learning down here has no effect on above. When we learn something new, it brings new revelation to that Torah in Shemaim. Turn to the top of the next page, Kuf Nun Ches. V'ayin b'pardes and the pardes shimonim. Very important work of Kabbalah. The Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero. He says, "Bein machshava shekvar nitztayra lebein machshava shelo nitztayra." When discussing the difference between what? An idea that you have, that nitztayra, that you've now drawn out or written down, versus an idea that has not yet been created in a picture. Shemachshava shenitztayra gam v'marom yoyser mizgal. So you have an idea in your head. Right? You have an idea in your head. Then you decide, you know what, I'm going to put it down on paper. So when you bring that Torah idea, or any idea, to greater revelation in this world, so it creates, b'marom, it also creates a greater revelation. Mashal li'ish ha-mabit al davar ha-mitsuyar shemachshavto yoser chazaka. Like a person who's looking at a picture of something, his mind is more clear. What does that mean? It means if I have an image in my mind, I'm going to build a building, I can close my eyes and picture what it looks like. It's still very, very theoretical. I don't really understand what this building's about. But if I have a blueprint, my machshava will be yoter chazaka. My understanding, my image of it will be much more precise. Because now I've worked out the dimensions. Now I have, you know, an artist's rendering of what it's actually going to look like. So similarly, when we have an idea that's a theoretical idea, when we give it expression, right, so it becomes that much more powerful. So too in a spiritual way, when we uncover a new Torah idea in this world, so that creates a greater giloy, a strengthening of that Torah idea, greater revelation, if we can imagine such a thing, of that idea in the higher realms. So now the Rebbe says an amazing. Let's go back to the Hebrew letters. What do you see when you see an Aleph? You see an Aleph. What do you see when you see a Beis? You see a Beis. What does a little kindergarten child see when he sees an Aleph? What does he see when he sees a Beis? What does a child see? When a child is learning the letters in a new way for the first time. So it's much newer. It's much more confusing. First he sees a shape. He's trying to understand, why is this shape called Aleph? Why is this shape called Beis? He may point to a shape and say, Samach. No, that's not Samach, that's Mem Sofit. Oh, it looks very similar. Yeah, it does look very similar. He's learning it in a new way. This is Hey? No. Hey is the one. Hey is the one with the little leg. That's Dalet. You're getting confused. When a child is looking at letters, he sees them in such a new way. Says the Rebbe, Hinei atinok shalome tzuras haosios. So when a child learns letters, and if you're to show, you'll remember this one day when you have this list to teach your own children, Hebrew letters. You'll try to remember this piece of the Holy Yesh Kodesh. And you'll say, you know what? A child, I might be smarter than my kid. But when a child is looking at a letter, learning an Aleph for the first time, you realize how holy that is. It's new Torah. It's something new. Hashem is Malami to Alamu Yisrael. It's creating a new Giloy in Shemayim. It's an unbelievable thing. The advantage of being a child is everything's fresh. And fresh means with Hashem. That's what we're learning. It's Chachos. Fresh, new, means that Hashem is your Rebbe. When you're doing Chazara, even Moshe Rabbeinu Chazard on his own. When you learn something new, Hashem becomes your teacher. So when a Tinok is learning the shapes of the letters, Poel his galus b'marom gam b'tzuras ha'osios. So that creates new revelation regarding the letters on high. So it creates, again, this ripple effect where the child is learning a new letter, and that creates a new awakening of Torah Shemayim, and then that comes back down to him in the form of some type of greater giloy, greater revelation. But the challenge, Chevra, of getting older is that you don't approach things with the same excitement of a little kid. When a little kid comes home from school with his or her Haggadah, you know, that he made in school, and he wants to show you the props that he made for the Seder, and he wants to tell you every little Dvar Torah that he learned, or she learned, it's a beautiful thing. It's so fresh. As opposed to an adult, you look at an Aleph, you don't think, oh, what a funny looking shape. You look at a Resh, you don't think, oh, that's a Dalet. You know Dalet, you know Resh. You know Aleph, you know Beis. You're Eino Lomade. You're not learning it in a new way, Ki Kvar Yodei Osa, because you already know it. V'rakesh Pshat HaDvarim Lomade. Now you're already learning the Pshat. You're not seeing Beis, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, Tav, and deciphering these funny shapes. You look at it in a second, Bereshis. You see it as a word. You see it as an idea. L'chein, rak b'pshat ha-Torah po'el hizgalis b'marom v'gam lam. Ma she'enkein eilu ha-kedoshim, she'gilu kol kach hizgalis gam b'tzuros ha-osios. So now, says the Rebbe, going back to the Gemara, answering the question, why in the Gemara and Shabbos, the code, Adaf Kuf Dalin, why did the Gemara and Shabbos call, why did they say, the rabbi said to Rishu and Levi, you should have seen these children who came into the Beis Medrash today, they were expounding the letters, says the Eish Kodesh, a big Kodesh. They weren't necessarily kids at all. They could have been Gedolei Yisrael. But they were the types of Jews who what? Who always saw letters. We didn't just see concepts. We didn't just see words. As opposed to most people who, again, only see the pshat of the Torah. And that creates a certain revelation. Again, Masha'enkin, Eilu HaKadoshim, these holy individuals who came to Beis Medrash that day, Shigilu Kol Kachiz Galaz Gam Betsura Sa'osios, that they saw the letters, they studied the letters in a fresh way. They had a child's perspective, a pure, sweet, innocent, holy child's fresh perspective. And that's why they said, my taima pshuta kare de gimel agave dalid. They looked at the letters and they said, wow, look how the letter gimel, look how the leg of the gimel is extended towards the dalid, like a person who's giving tzedakah, chasing after someone who needs his assistance. And therefore, koreo sabha gemara dardiki. And therefore, the gemara called what? The gemara called whoever these holy Jews were saying deep, deep Torah in that base measures that day, like nothing since the time of Yeshua ben Nun. But they're called children because they had a youthful and fresh perspective. So now the Rebbe says, so what does that mean for us? The Rebbe says, Chevra, you can go through life, always, you know, whenever you learn something, you can be like, yeah, I know this already, I heard this already. Especially true when it comes to Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh, okay, you still have ways to go, you haven't finished Shas yet. But Torah Shebichsav, Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Shemos, Parshas Kedoshim, Ha'afloracha Kamocha, famous Pasuk, sure. Heard it before. Or you can always try to look at it with a fresh perspective and always try to go deeper. Every experience in life is an opportunity to go a little bit deeper. Underline the next two lines. L'chein. Gam kishayish choizer alimudo. When a Jew comes back to something in his learning, he reviews something in his learning. He hears a Dvar Torah he's heard before, or a Chasidus Shemaisa that he's heard before. Tzarech shebechol pam yisamig yoser. You need to delve a little bit deeper. V'yilmud bechol pam chadashos me'atorah. To make sure that every time I'm learning, it's truly chadash. Why? Kedei shiyahu yisbarach melamdo gam ata. Because when you're learning in a way that's new, then Hashem is with you. That was the rule that we established. When you learn something new, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malame Torah L'Av Yisrael. And when that happens, it's also again happening in Shemayim. It's not only happening down here. He's creating new, he's uncovering new revelations in the heavens. V'yedeha hizgalus sh'osa b'marom nasa gam etzlo l'mata hizgalus. And if you're creating new revelations above. Again, it'll bounce back to bring new connections to Hashem upon you. And now the Rebbe pivots to the painful situation he's in. The Rebbe says, we're facing new tsaris. We're being challenged in our emunah and bitachon in new ways, like never before. Says the Rebbe, Ubikol davar sha'osa Hashem tzrichim lilmor. From everything that Hashem does, it's a lesson. And it's always a new lesson if you want it to be a new lesson. Ki kesha beistin hilku lemi malkus hayazet Torah. If the basin determines that a person needs to get malkus, so that's Torah. Ki kibu mitzvah mitorah lilkos lemisha nesnaya malkus. Right? That's a mitzvah, that's a din, but it's a fulfillment of Torah. If this person is getting lashes, so that's a fulfillment of Torah. That's a lesson. That's a new lesson in Torah. L'cheid gaba yisurim sha'ashem yasar osanu Torah. So therefore, if lashes is part of Torah, that means suffering is also, that's part of Torah. U'kisha'ish lomid behem, and when I learn the lesson, az nasa kadosh baruch hu b'sha zo melame Torah. So when I learn that lesson in a new way, when I feel that I've been challenged by Hashem in a new way, so to the degree that it's truly a new experience and a fresh lesson to be learned, so then Hashem becomes my teacher. However, now the Rebbe says the radical position that what? But if Hashem is my teacher and I'm a good student, then mitalmidai yosu mikula. Then I'm teaching Hashem even more than He's teaching me. Somehow it's nasa his galus mala umata. In other words, when I'm learning something delightful and it creates a giloy, it creates greater revelation in Shemayim, which creates greater revelation down below, which creates greater connection to Hashem, so it's all to be expected. But what about when I'm suffering? So suffering is a time when Hashem, I feel that Hashem is concealed from me. But when I accept the lesson of suffering in a new way, and Hashem becomes my teacher, so then Hashem is with me. And then I create revelation on high, and more revelation down below. And that connection that I find to Hashem in the suffering by making Hashem my teacher and becoming Hashem's teacher, where the student teaches more than the Rebbe even taught the student. So in that way, it negates, it's batla hastaras panim, it negates the hastar panim, it breaks, it negates that divine concealment. And I'm talking hadidin, and it sweetens the midas hadin, because then I'm able to recognize that Hashem was with me all along. What an unbelievable idea! Says the Rebbe in the second to last paragraph. Veracious halibud tzrichim lilbod mina yisurim. So what's the lesson? Says the Rebbe.
How is the student better?
Because mitalmidai yosur mikula. Right? The Rebbe says I learned more from my students than from anyone. I learned to laugh my Rebbeim. I learned more from my friends. I learned the most from my students. So we, because again, by whenever we learn something new in this world, it creates a new revelation in Shemayim. So to the degree that we're makabel the lesson as a new lesson, again, part of what the Rebbe is saying to the people is I know that you feel, again, I'm suggesting, I don't know, but the Rebbe is presumably saying to the people, this is 1941. We've been doing this for a while now. And I know you feel probably, the Rebbe saying to people, I know you feel like it's just one long, one big long tzara. And you're not seeing the new challenges that we're facing as new opportunities to connect to Hashem. You're seeing it as just one long, terrible situation. But the Rebbe is saying every midas hadin, every divine judgment is a revelation of Torah. Every new type of Yisurim is a new opportunity to learn something new. And if we learn it in a way that's new, then we're with Hashem. And if we're with Hashem, then it's not as bad. So the Rebbe says, look what he says, Veracious Halimut. So the first thing to learn, Shetrichim Lilbod Min HaYisurim. What do we learn? What is the lesson of Yisurim? What's Hashem trying to teach us? And what haven't we learned already, right? We've suffered for a long time, he's saying. He's answering that question. We've been suffering for several years now. It's just getting worse and worse under the Nazis, Yimach Shemah. So what are we learning? What's new in this? What's the lesson of Yisurim? So he says, first and foremost, Hu Amuna, Bahashem, Babitachon, Achazak, Bo Yisbarach, Shoshienu. It's a new opportunity to more wholeheartedly trust in Hashem and have faith that Hashem is going to save us. And that's a lesson that never gets old, he says. Over and over, a person needs to be chazek himself and to review and to strengthen his amura and his bitachon in the time of Yisur. Right? And it's not just a continuation, either I believe or I don't believe. My amura has to get stronger. My bitachon has to get stronger because the challenges are getting more significant. And he says, you know where we see that? And this is the Shvi Shal Pesach connection. Roa mihash shalo nikra hayam, asheshevet b'yamin kafetz liyam, v'nachshon ben aminadav kafetz ad chotmo kenoda. The Medrash tells us different traditions of what caused the sea to split. We already had faith to leave Mitzrayim. Lechtech achar b'minbar beretz lo zeruah, we ran after Hashem. Lo yochlu l'smameya, we didn't wait for our bread to rise. We followed Hashem. Next thing you know, Hashem is challenging us again. Turn back around. Go in this direction. What? That's a terrible idea. Next thing you know, we're trapped in the sea. Paro and his men. What are we going to do? We're stuck. They want to give up. Hashem says, don't give up. Keep going weiter. Go weiter. What do you mean? We're doing this again? It's not again. It's a new challenge. What do I need a new challenge for? Because we're going deeper on Amun and Bitachon. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper into Amun and Bitachon. The sea didn't split until Shevet ben Yamin jumped in. And furthermore, it says that Nachshon ben Aminadav had to walk in up to his nostrils. And Mamish up to the point where he's about to drown. What do you need all this for? Hello, Rashi perish al dabri al b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. It already said, Rashi already commented on say to b'nei Yisrael to keep traveling. Kedai hu amuna shaminu bi v'yatsu. They already had faith in me and they left Mitzrayim. So what more do I need? And they did so. And then when Hashem told us to turn around and go in the direction of our pursuers, we did that also. So how many tests of Amun are we going to have? And the answer is you could look at it as the same annoying, difficult struggle, brokenness in my life again and again. Or I could try to approach it with a sense of ischadshus. Because as time goes on, it is harder to believe. It is harder to hold on. So it's not just a continuation. It's a new level of amunah that's being uncovered. It's a new type of bitachon. Yes, we had amunah to leave Mitzrayim. Yes, we had amunah to turn back around when Moshe told us, let's go back in the other direction. Yes, we had amunah to jump into the sea. Yes, we had amunah to go into the sea up to our nostrils. Each step is a deepening of our amunah. Says the Rebbe, two lines from the bottom. L'chein ro'a mizeh. So what do we see from all this? When a person is going through difficulties, he's sometimes tested from Shemayim to strengthen his Amunah again and again. They had Amunah to leave Mitzrayim. Then they had to have Amunah to turn themselves towards their enemies. Top of the last page, Va'od Tsar Yesera, Kadesh Yeschazku Be'amuna Bitachon Yoser Chazak. They needed to strengthen again and again and again to jump in to the waters Arachotam, Layam V'Sakana. And it was Dafka there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the rescue. So says the Rebbe, I know we felt that we've hit rock bottom many times, and then it just gets lower and lower and lower. But says the Rebbe, you have to realize, obviously, the obvious and first and foremost lesson of suffering is working on Amunah. But Amunah is not the only thing that's needed at a time of Tzara. He quotes a very powerful line from the Zohar. Listen to this. If you have a piece of wood, if you have a stick, a piece of wood, that the fire is not taking hold of, it's not catching. You're trying to build a little bonfire, and the wood's not catching. The big log is not catching. What do? Break it up, chop it up, chomp it up, smash it up, Yeah, break it down into small pieces, and it'll catch fire more easily. What does that mean? As I've already told you, Sha'ish shemis alef chas v'chalila. If a person faints, God forbid, what do we do to him? Oz bo'atim bo umakim oso'od. We strike him and we hit him more. A person who faints, you slap him across the face to try to revive him. Demuch, the poor guy fainted, now you're slapping him in the face? Everybody says, yeah. Because sometimes, right, sometimes by stepping on the log, by breaking it down to a point that it feels even more broken, it's bad enough you chop down this tree, now you're chopping me into wood chips, yeah. That's going to help you to what? To achieve your purpose better. V'dafka al yidei ha-be'itos ha-kos, mischazek yoser. By slapping the person who fainted that much more, it's actually mechazek him. V'shov chiyusoy love it. It brings him back. Right? You shock the body, and sometimes what? The body's already in a traumatic state. You're going to shock it now? Yeah. Maybe that can get the heart back on track. Ki kesha'onu b'tzara tzvichim l'espal la'ashem shi'oshi'eru teka fum yad. Yes, on the one hand, when we're going through difficulty, we want immediate salvation, and we should daven for that. It's amazing the Rebbe can write such a thing. We have to be makabel the new suffering as a way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu grinding us up to what? To make us more on fire in Avodas Hashem. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for us to uncover our potential through being crushed. Like an olive that becomes olive oil when it's crushed, like a grape that gets elevated to a birchas hagafen when it becomes wine. V'shira shirim rabba, or like it says in Shira Shirim, the Medrash of Shira Shirim. Tzadikim ha'amidah li b'chorbana, yoyser b'tzadikim sh'amidah li b'vinyana. Hashem says, I have more tzadikim in the chorban than I have in the times that the Beis Hamikdash was in its glory. In other words, in a very mysterious way, like the Zohar says, out of darkness comes great light. And sometimes what? Sometimes in the most broken of situations, right? There's greater tzidkus, there's greater holiness, there's greater revelation, there's greater amuna, there's greater bitachon. This is the lesson that Hashem is teaching us. Receive it in a fresh way. Learn every lesson in a new and fresh way, like a child, creating new revelations above and below. And again, those new revelations themselves are the Hamtakas Hadidim, Vamshachas Harachim, Kedis Kalel. That's what brings the sweetening of the Din, and it draws the mercy upon us. It says the Rebbe in the final paragraph, tried to connect us back to the Amuna of the Jewish people that we say right before Az Yashar, Vizev Vayamiru Bahashem Uva Moshe Avdo. This is what it means that the Jewish people saw everything that they were experiencing. They believed in Hashem and Moshe his servant. V'isa b'shir hashirim rabba shal zman heyosem b'mitzrayim kai shagam oz b'yosem b'tzara hamiru lachein. Sorry, hamiru. Lachein oz yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael asashira zeh keli. Hachesed hazeh shali hu sha'ani pa'alti lamshicho al yedei emunasi gam oz b'tzara b'mitzrayim. Begam ata mitzaros maros minimraros ad ba'od. Hashem yirachim aleinu keheref ayin yoshienu. Uvashem nischazek v'namin v'divtach bo. Ukerega yoshienu amen. Says the Rebbe in the final paragraph. Yes, the Jewish people had a muna in Moshe and Hashem on their way out of Mitzrayim. But oz yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael sashira zeh keli. And what does Rashi say? Zeh keli. They saw Hashem even more clearly. Again, hachesed hazeh shalihu sha'ani pa'alti lamshichu al yedei emunasi gam az b'tzar b'mitzrayim. I was willing to draw on my emuna when I was in Mitzrayim. V'gam ata, now in the tzaros are worse, I'm still drawing on that emuna. And it's an ongoing process of what? Of deepening my emuna in Hashem, deepening my faith and my trust in my Rabbi, my tzaddikim, in Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, the hope, the tefillah is, the davening is that with every increased tzara, there's also greater revelation, which creates greater achmanis, which creates greater hope for gula. That's what the Rebbe is teaching them. be like the Jews who left Mitzrayim. They had a Muda Mitzrayim. They had a Pesach Seder Mitzrayim before they left Mitzrayim. They believed enough to celebrate their salvation before it happened. And then they got to the sea and they had to do it again. And then they had to do it again. And they had to do it again. So it's like the breaking of the wood, which allows it to achieve its goal more readily. It's a difficult piece, but it's an amazing idea to think that whenever we choose to learn Torah, to absorb a lesson in a fresh way, so then Hashem becomes our teacher. Hashem becomes our Rebbe. Yeah. Because they were literally sitting having a Seder before they left Mitzrayim. That's what the Mori Nayim points out, the Rebbe of Chernobyl. The first Seder was still in Mitzrayim. They were sitting there, eating Karma Pesach, celebrating their freedom, when they hadn't left Mitzrayim yet. So in other words, there's an ability to appreciate and to celebrate the salvation before it even happens. And that's what we're doing now also. When we have a Pesach Seder, what are we celebrating? We're in Galus right now. We're longing and hoping that through our faith, it's going to create that reality. But the Rebbe's teaching them, it has to be new lessons. It can't be, if it's old lessons, then there's less Elokus, there's less Hashem by your side. Hashem teaches us new lessons. We review old lessons by ourselves. Yeah.
It makes sense how when there's a Surah and you get a lesson from that, but that's like, you know, like in any, not just in Surah, like in any area of life, when you take a lesson from something to be opposed to Hashem, why does he call that Torah?
That's what he's saying. He's saying the makos, when the person gets makos, the makos is one of the things the Torah reveals to us. This is the way that Hashem punishes, through makos. So if makos is Torah, which it is, all Masechta, we're learning it this year. If makos is Torah, so I guess that means punishment is Torah. So once you make that equation, so any types of punishment is a form of Torah.
Aren't makos different because it's like a din, it's like a halacha in Torah, but everything Hashem does
I looked in the Torah and I created the world. That means anything that's happening in the world is called Torah on a certain level. That's how Hashem teaches. Anything that Hashem is doing in the world is a lesson. So it could be an old lesson, it could be a chazar shir, or it could be a new lesson. So the Rebbe wants, and the Rebbe says, the godless, the beauty of a child, is that when a child looks at a letter, he sees it he starts from the physical shape of the letter and goes from there. So how beautiful it is, those tzaddikim who have the ability to always come back to the root, and then to start from there and to go deeper and deeper and deeper. But everything is a lesson in Torah, that's what he's saying. He's saying, from the fact that we have makos as a, based and administered makos, that's called Torah. So he makes the leap, the equation, to say that all suffering is called Torah. If it's new Torah, then you're with Hashem. And if you're with Hashem, then that sweetens the Midas HaDin. It makes it more manageable. Very deep idea. Yeah.
Just thinking about the quick thought.
And then we're teaching Hashem, right? Then Tamidah Yosef Mikula. We become, that's the craziest part of this whole piece. He's saying that we become the greatest teachers. Because look, we say, look, Hashem, like, we're showing you how far Amuna goes. Like, wow, Hashem's like, wow, look how much you're suffering. You still believe in me. So we become, we're revealing new levels of Torah, of faith.
Yeah, on the wood muscle.
Yeah.
So.
Break the wood, yeah. Okay.
Like, our heart that sometimes will like add layers of like kind of schmutz around it, right? Like a Romero's.
Right. If it was just like a pure piece of wood, it would burn well.
It would burn well. So we need to like break it open to
right.
Really light up what's inside.
Right. That's right. To bring out what's inside. Yeah, for sure.
We're talking about Torah, and you're expanding the definition from just a Sefer Torah, something around clock and words. So what, now with this new edition, what would you expand the definition further than, writings from God on a clock that is given to us and we read twice a week.
Again, the world is Torah. Stako Boreisa Bar Alma. I looked in the Torah and I created the world.
How could...
And everything's made up of letters, right? Everything is Torah and everything's made up of letters.
Everything is Torah. Just every.
I think
Torah,
so.
Everything.
The world's created from Torah. Everything
is a manifestation of Torah. Again, through a Hishtalshalus, where there's this, you know, descent into a place of utter concealment. But the utter concealment is something in the world that I just doesn't mean anything to me, or concealment in the form of terrible suffering. That's all Torah of concealment. But he's saying, from the fact that Malchus is Hayazet Torah, because it's Mekayim the mitzvah of the Torah of giving lashes, so Lachain, Gam HaYisurim Shashem Miyasar Osanu Torahim. He says it explicitly. The suffering that Hashem sends upon us is Torah. And when you learn it, so then Hashem becomes your Malavid. And you become Talmidai Yosem Mikulam. Very powerful words. All right? We should be zeichet to learn a lot of fresh new Torah, not the Torah of suffering, but we should have Hashem as our teacher at all times. Yeah?